Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King MOX.
We are back at it as we get into hour number two of the program. Missouri football, they're looking good so far, sitting with a 3-0 record. They've got a big one coming up this weekend as they are going to match up against South Carolina. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the radio analyst on the Missouri football broadcast. One of our favorite people to be able to talk Tigers football with. He is Howard Richards. Follow him on Twitter at @How_Rich. Howard, thanks for taking the time with us today. How are you?
Good evening, Matt. I'm doing well. And do we still call it Twitter?
I do.
Because it it just sounds better than X. I mean, X is just it's just insane.
As long as people know what I'm supposed to be saying, it works, I guess.
I think everyone knows it's Twitter. And why the name changed, I have no idea.
Yeah, I never got that either. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. With the day that Missouri and Kansas matched up against each other, it was one of those days where I had to be out of the house for most of the day, and I was driving around, and I was listening to your guys' broadcast, and I had so much fun listening to it. I just had to wonder for a game like that, that A, was so huge, B, ended up being a win, the back and forth nature of it, especially late in the game, how much fun were you guys having in the booth as that game went along?
If you look at the video from the game, so we stream live from the broadcast booth. There's a video out there someplace. You'll see an example of how much fun we have. I mean, we're jumping around and high fiving and everything, but it was like that today. I think the anticipation of playing against Kansas after an absence of 15 years, 19 years since Kansas had played at Fro. And then for me, having played against KU four consecutive years, and then just understanding the meaning of what that rivalry game means to both institutions, was just tremendous. And the energy was as good, if not better, than any home game that I can recall in the past 15 years that I've been doing the games. It was great.
Could have this season started any better? The two games against teams that they're supposed to win, and they win them in very one-sided form, and then your non-conference game against a really legitimate opponent, you get a challenge, you have to come back in it, you make plays late. It just seems like there's a lot of boxes that have been checked off going into conference play.
You know, I think I agree with you 100%, especially with a game like Kansas. It's good to have a test like that early in the season to see how your players respond. Yeah, it wasn't perfect. There are lots of things that came out of the game, areas that needed to be worked on, you know, in order to be better and to continue to show improvement week after week after week. But I think they showed that against Louisiana. And let's hope that the things that needed to be corrected from that game and the previous two games get corrected before South Carolina shows up on Saturday.
the big question right now, and it's on the other side, is at South Carolina. Their quarterback, Lenore Sellers, unknown for sure if he's going to play. It sounds like what's being reported today that he's likely to play. I know Coach Drinkwitz has said that they're preparing for him to play, but what kind of challenge does it create for a team where you don't know for 100% sure what quarterback you're going to be facing?
You know, it's unique in so much as if there's a quarterback that you've not seen, you don't necessarily know how to prepare. In the case of South Carolina, you prepare as though Sellers is going to play. He did practice yesterday, I heard, and I think it's trending in the direction that he will play. How effective he will be, no one knows. And sometimes guys that get knocked out of a game, they come back and they play like gangbusters. The backup quarterback, his name escapes me at the moment, but I think we've seen him before. Drink has certainly seen him before. And he's more than capable, can move the football, can run it. So regardless of who's taking snaps, and I will take a page out of Drink's book, it's less about what the opponent does and more about what Missouri does well and how it executes, from start to finish. And when that team has been able to execute in all three phases, consistently and not allow big plays on defense, avoid turnovers, disallow big plays in the kicking game. When Missouri does that, they win more times than not. I don't know if this team is destined to for greatness this season, but if you look at the first, let's say, 25 minutes of the game against Louisiana, they looked to be unstoppable. And listen, Louisiana's no slouch. The team won 10 games last year. They lost some players from that roster, but they were very well coached. They did some things that Missouri didn't expect, that Missouri will certainly face in subsequent games. When Missouri showed an empty backfield, they blitzed. Missouri had problems controlling that blitz and picking it up. So there are things that I think from a coaching standpoint, you want to see how your players handle them. And you saw that it was a problem last week. How do you correct those things in practice going forward? Because certainly South Carolina will attempt to do the same things that gave Missouri trouble so far.
We saw just such a special game from Ahmad Hardy. He's been named the Doak Walker Player of the Week. I mean, 250 yards, 3 touchdowns. It doesn't matter who you're playing against, Howard. That's a day that you remember forever. How much fun was it watching a young man seemingly do whatever he wanted to do on the field?
He's so impressive. He's an impressive young man when you listen to him. He's such a energetic and happy-go-lucky guy, happy to be where he is. Talks about how fast the game is and how fast he has to adjust to league play. The basics are the same for him because, all he does is try to make guys miss when he gets to the next level. And I think I heard a stat, maybe 150, 160 yards after contact on Saturday. And we know that he rushed for well over 100 yards after or 1,000 yards after contact last season. So seemingly he's picked up where he's left off. I think Missouri's played 3 this year. Going back to his last 2 games at Louisiana, he's rushed for 500 yards, for over 100 yards in 5 consecutive games. So he's on a momentum streak himself. And listen, I know the challenge is going to be there for him. League play, everyone steps up their game, several other notches. And I expect the same, for this game this weekend, especially being the first game in conference play. And just read a tweet, Matt, from Mizzou beat writer Eli Hoff. It says, unsurprisingly, South Carolina quarterback Lenore Sellers is listed as questionable on the Gamecocks' first injury report of the week. Mizzou has a clean report aside from season-long injuries to Blake Craig and quarterback Sam Horn. There's a longer-term absence for offensive lineman Logan Reichert. I think there's another injury report that comes out on Wednesdays that will maybe be a little more clear with regard to the status of Lenore Sellers. But I expect him to be, you know, either be questionable again tomorrow or at least probable going into Saturday's game.
We're talking with Howard Richards, part of the broadcast team, the analyst on the Missouri Tigers Football Network. Bo Pribula has been pretty good. I mean, he's completed better than three quarters of his passes, seven touchdowns. Is this kind of what you were expecting from him, or is this even more than what you were expecting?
Well, I'd say it's what we hoped for.
Yeah.
More than anything. The expectation is that a guy is certainly, whoever's going to play quarterback for Drinky is a guy that's going to have a great grasp of the offense and one that's able to throw it with accuracy, make good decisions, and not make a lot of mistakes throwing the football. The ball's got to come out in a hurry. We've seen all those things, minus, you know, his fumble where Kansas picked it up on a scoop and score. It's really the only glaring mistake that he made. So protecting the football, he'll tell you it's something that he has to improve upon. But also just continuing to keep his eyes downfield when he does try to scramble and try to find that open receiver. Maybe save your body a little bit, Bo. You know, we can use you down the road. We don't need you. We don't need any more quarterback injuries for this season.
He is a Howard Richards. Howard, I was just talking to Klaibs earlier today. He said that your weekly show, you guys are taping tomorrow. That's available over at STL Sports Central. And, of course, people hear you on the Tigers radio broadcast. Really appreciate you taking some time with us this evening and look forward to talking to you again down the line.
Anytime, Matt. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. That's Howard Richards. One of the best. Love being able to talk with him and appreciate how gracious he is always with his time and willing to talk about Mizzou football as they get ready for a big one. Big one. The only thing that worries me about this weekend beyond just like South Carolina is a good team. That worries me. The intrinsic stuff that can concern me. South Carolina lost a game they should have won this past weekend. Anytime a team plays the week after a game that they lost that they should have won, you know that they're going to be that much more locked in. So, like, when I saw that they lost at home to Vanderbilt by a lot, I went, that's not great for Missouri. Doesn't mean that Missouri won't win. The fact that it's in this Columbia is good for Missouri, and Missouri's just a good team, but I really did not love the fact that Vanderbilt went into the other Columbia and beat South Carolina last weekend. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Again, later on this hour, we'll hear a little bit from Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. After that, we'll hear from Blues President of Hockey Operations, Doug Armstrong. He met with the media today. We will have more in just a moment as we roll on with a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are taking you till 8 o'clock tonight, and for the final half hour of the show, First, we're going to hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Each week, he talks to our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, an exclusive conversation that we get access to because, well, they're our sister station. We're their sister station. And so we'll have that coming up in just a while. Chiefs are 0-2. They got to get things going. And then after that, we'll talk some Blues hockey. Doug Armstrong met with the media earlier today, the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager. Training camp starts tomorrow. First preseason game coming up on Saturday. It is just about here. Otis sent in a message. I guess it sounded like I was taking a little bit of a shot at Vanderbilt when I was talking about South Carolina because of what I said about Vanderbilt, that was a game that South Carolina should have won. And Otis said, I'm underestimating Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's good. Vanderbilt was unranked going to the number 11 team in the nation. So I think Vanderbilt's good. I really do. I still think South Carolina should have won that game. And to lose a game at home 31-7 when you're ranked number 11 to an unranked team. Vanderbilt's ranked now and they deserve to be ranked. But that was not me taking a shot at Vanderbilt. It was just me saying that was not a good loss for South Carolina when you consider everything that goes along with it. I had to kind of laugh at this text message that came in, and I appreciated the message. But because if you guys saw, and for those of you who watch on the stream, you're able to see some of the messages that come in. But I do think sometimes it's a good reminder for me that whether it's text messages or tweets or whatever else, like everybody is a human being and a unique individual, and everybody's got their own opinion on things. And when I start believing that there is a overwhelming majority opinion, a lot of times I get that wrong. So I got a text message from the 314. And it says, first off, I like the beginning because the other day I was getting text messages telling me how much of a jerk I am. So I really appreciated the start of the text message that goes with, I think you are very nice and a good guy. Thank you. It's nice to hear that. I was being inundated with messages telling me how horrible of a human being I was just a couple days ago. So I appreciate the nice message. It's nice to get a little lift up every once in a while. Anyways, the texter goes on. Thank you. You're very nice. Good guys. The majority of people just want Mo to leave because he's an arrogant blah, 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 and we can deal with Oliver Marmol. So the point of that was this texter's structural belief is that the Cardinals fan base is mad at Mo and are willing to put up with Marmol. That's true for some. That's not true for the majority. I appreciate that being your point, but as the person who sits here and watch text after text, tweet after tweet, social media comment after social media comment on the stream coming in, I can tell you that Marmol and Mo are spoken about together. That for a large portion of the fan base, as much as they want Mo out, they want Marmol just the same. I would be curious of this. Let's say Chaim Bloom takes over. That's not the let's say part. Obviously, that's happening. So Chaim takes over. Marmol sticks around, which I think is going to happen. I think Oliver Marmol is going to be the manager next year. I'm excited for that because I want to see what it looks like, if it looks different with Marmol. I think there are some things that frustrate a lot of people that happen under Marmol that get blamed that the blame goes to Marmol, and it's more about the organizational philosophy, which is dictated by other people. So let's go to a hypothetical situation. Maybe this plays out this way. Maybe it doesn't. We'll probably all learn together unless there is a managerial change in the offseason, which I'm not expecting, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen. If all of a sudden things look different, like really different. Let's say the Cardinals are starting to do like the innovative and thinking outside the box stuff that other organizations do. The using openers and doing a lot more in terms of splits and platoons and things like that. Like just they try to get every single edge they can get from every single corner. And that's what the Brewers do. That's what the Brewers do. The Brewers are able to play above their roster because they take advantage of everything else. So let's say, and I don't think the Cardinals are especially good at doing that. I think they were actually better this year than they were previously. The first thing was when they did not bat Mason Wynn leadoff this year. When they went with Newt Barr, eventually Donovan, like that was the right way to go. I didn't think they were going to do that. I was so pleasantly surprised that they didn't. And that seems like such a long time ago now, but that showed kind of an evolution in the way things were going to be thought about. And I think that's going to continue moving forward. So let's say they start doing all these things that really good organizations do to get the most out of your team. At that point, I would be curious to watch what the level of criticism towards Oliver Marmol becomes. And I think in many ways, Marmol has the opportunity to be unleashed under a Heim Bloom-led baseball organization. At the same time, I am willing to be accepting of the idea that maybe Heim and Ollie actually don't work together well. Maybe they go into the year and it just as they go through that year becomes, you know what, they're not totally simpatico. And if that's the case, then Heim has the opportunity, whether it's in the middle of the season or more likely at the end of the season, to make that change. But to me, Ollie's a good manager, young, bright, thoughtful. Players like playing for him. I think he is a major asset to the organization, and I would like to see what it looks like with Ollie managing with the next regime fully in charge. I think that's going to happen. It's not a 100% guarantee. We are going to take a break. When we return, we're actually going to hear from Patrick Mahomes. He does a weekly conversation with our sister station in Kansas City. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, continuing to take you until 8 o'clock this evening. We continue to remind you about what's coming up tomorrow night on the program. We are going to be live at Hot Shots in Arnold. We'll be there live from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so Redbird Rush Hour, at least my part of it, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and then Sports Open Line from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock for our soccer showcase from City SC. Timo Baumgartel is going to be there. He'll join us on the air for about 6 to 6:30 or so, and then the time after that, he'll be available to sign autographs and take photos and do all that sort of stuff. So look forward to seeing everybody in South County and in Arnold. We're going to be there coming up tomorrow. It is that time of the week where we hear from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, a weekly conversation that he does exclusively with our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan, and as St. Louis is home for the Chiefs, we get to play it back each week. This is Mahomes' birthday week. Now the Chiefs are 0-2, so maybe there's... They start slow into the conversation this week before getting into football, as the Chiefs have got to play some better football. Tough schedule to start the year, but they are 0-2. But as the conversation did start between Mahomes and Carrington Harrison, they talked a little bit about, when it comes to Mahomes' birthday each year, is this a time that he uses to kind of reflect back on where he's been and how much his life has changed in really a short amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super grateful for just everything that I've kind of experienced in life. I mean, I've had great people around me in my family and friends, and obviously had a great run here in Kansas City. And so it's been a lot of fun these last 9 years, I guess that would be, until I was 30. But let's make it another 10 to 15 more.
So we were having some bets around the office on how you prefer your steak to get cooked. Some people were saying well done, and I was like, not my guy. Pat's not getting his steak cooked well done. On Sunday, whenever you guys ate, tell me what you ordered.
I got the Wagyu meatballs, and then I ate a little bit of the chicken just because, like, kind of an appetizer, and then we got some of the ribeye. And so I do get my steak. I get my steak medium. I can do medium. I did medium rare for a long time, but now I'm just a medium guy, and I feel like no matter where you go, you can get a good medium steak.
Okay, that's good to hear. That's how I get mine. I get my medium rare, medium, depending where I am, so I'm happy to know that you and I are on the same page there. For sides, what do you usually get? Are you a mac and cheese, a mashed potato guy? What are you getting for sides?
It kind of depends. You know, sometimes I will do the mac and cheese and, like, the french fries and stuff like that. But, like, the other night, just kind of chilling with, like, the broccolini and the mashed potatoes, and not eating too heavy, knowing that I got a football game coming up.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Today is actually the grand opening for your steakhouse. How excited are you for the public to get an opportunity to go?
I'm super excited. You know, they had the kind of the soft opening this last week, and from everything, I mean, I wasn't really there a lot, but from everything I could tell, it went really well, and people had great feedback as far as their experiences there. And so I'm just excited for Kansas City to have this place that I think a lot of people will love, and I get great food and great community, and get to be together at another place in Kansas City than call their own.
You've done a lot before your 30th birthday. You have a very successful foundation that has done a lot for kids in the area. You opened up a steakhouse. You've elevated the brand for your university. You've been able to accomplish a lot of things. Do you have things that you want to accomplish in your 30s? What are some of your personal goals?
As far as off the field, I think I just want to be the best dad and the best husband that I can be. Like, it's being able to go home every single day and see those kids and the smiles on their face. I want to continue to just be a great example for them and for the rest of the community as well. And so there's nothing like that I set out and I'm trying to do this or do that. I just want to do whatever I can to give back to the community that's given me so much, and hopefully win a lot of Super Bowls on the field.
I know you don't like talking about yourself, but today is just kind of a day of reflection. I have to tell you some of the things that you have accomplished. You have won 3 Super Bowls. You have been the MVP of all of those Super Bowls. You won the MVP in the NFL multiple times. You've been a 6-time Pro Bowler. You guys have been to 7 AFC Championship games. Could you imagine that you would have done all of this prior to the age of 30?
No, probably not. You know, like, I focus so much on the day and trying to get better that day. And coming out of college and at Texas Tech, I knew that I'd put up a lot of stats, but I wanted to learn how to win and to win consistently. And I got blessed to come to Kansas City with Coach Reed and all these great players around me, and they taught me how to win. They taught me how to push to be even better every single day, and it helped elevate my game and elevate me to be a better role model, a better leader. And I just try to embrace that, knowing that it doesn't last forever, but it's been a lot of fun, and we'll keep pushing it to get even better every single year.
Last reflective question, at least about your career, and we'll move to the present day. You have 17 playoff wins before you turned 30 years old. Tom Brady had 12 playoff wins by the time he was 30 years old. Have you thought about the pace you were on by, when we look at this thing a decade from now, where you could potentially be?
Yeah, but you have to keep up with it. I mean, I think that's what makes Tom so great, is that he continued to do it year in and year out for 20 years. I mean, he kept just being at the top of the game, and that comes with a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. And so I try to do that. Even in times like right now when it's not going well, I still put in the work, knowing that if you put in the work, usually good things happen. And so it speaks to his greatness that he was able to do it for 20 straight years, a little over 20 years. And so I'll just continue to work extremely hard and give myself the opportunity to go out there and win as many games as possible.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Let's get to this week. Let's look ahead. You guys are 0-2. What is the sense of urgency that you feel heading into Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, it's a high sense of urgency. You know, going up against this team, I mean, this is a team that has played two good football games as well, and they've kind of been similar to us where they kind of come up short just a little bit, but they have a lot of great football players, and this will be their home opener, so it'll be a great environment playing at the Giant Stadium at MetLife, and they'll be hungry too. So it's going to be two teams that are very hungry that are trying to get that win on the board to get their seasons back on track, and so it's a high sense of urgency knowing we got to play our best football, play better than we played these first 2 weeks.
It feels crazy to use this term in September, but do you consider Sunday Night Football to be must-win for you guys?
I've never, until it's like playoffs or it's like you win and go home, I never say must-win, but I mean, it's an important football game, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's being 0-2 is one thing, but being 0-3, I mean, it's tough to come back and make the playoffs and get to where you want to be at, and so we feel this sense of urgency here, knowing that we got to play better as a full team. I mean, I feel like the first game offensively we played pretty good, second game we played bad, and they kind of flipped on the defensive side of the football, and so for us, we got to come together as a team. You know, we got to continue to put in the work to come together as a team on game day and play our best football on game day to get a win and get our season back on track.
This is along that same vein, but I'm sure you've heard the stat by now, and it is a stat that is going to be drilled into you guys' head over the next couple of days. Since expanding the playoffs, there have been 41 teams that have started 0-2. Only 5 of those teams have made the postseason. You guys obviously have championship DNA. Nobody is counting you guys out, but how do you guys dig yourself out of the hole that you guys have created these first 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think you just got to focus on the now and what we can do. And today, that's having the best practice that we can have and preparing ourselves for this game that we're playing this weekend. And everything's still in front of us. You know, we know that we haven't played our best football these first 2 weeks, but if we play the way that we think we can play, we can win a lot of football games. And so come to work every single day and kind of just get after it and continue to get better and better and try to go out there and stack some wins as the season goes along. And by the end of the season, give yourself a chance to be in the playoffs and go out there and win those games as well.
One stat has jumped out to me. You actually lead quarterback in rushing yards. You have 123 so far this season. No other quarterback in the league has 100 yards rushing. Are you running more out of necessity this year? Are you seeing more in the defense? What has led to you taking off more this season?
Yeah, I think just kind of the flow of the game. Just get when defenses are playing some of the man coverages, they're really focusing on stopping guys down the field. And so when they do that, if they get out of the rush lane, just kind of opened up for me to be able to run. But that's something that I've always had. I obviously just used it a little bit more these last 2 weeks. But I'm going to do whatever it takes to win at the end of the day. And I don't call myself necessarily a running quarterback, but I can do enough to move the chains. And so I'm just excited for us to continue to evolve as an offense and get even better.
Obviously, this is something that you have to be mindful of. How are you going to try to manage those hits on your body, the potential extra wear and tear for a long football season?
I always prepare my body for it, you know. I mean, there's obviously I try not to take the big hits and get down when I can in space and stuff like that. But if you're getting hit in the pocket or out of the pocket, you're taking hits throughout a season, so you have to prepare your body for that. And so that stuff I do all off season and do during the season as well, just to prepare my body for a tough NFL season, just like everybody else.
We've talked about you being the villain in certain aspects. You mentioned the home opener for the Giants or going on the road in Sunday Night Football. Everything is kind of against you in that. What is it like to go into those environments looking to leave with the W?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough. Don't get me wrong, but it's always a great opportunity to go in there and kind of build that memory with your teammates of being having to come together and win these big games and these big moments on Sunday Night Football and stuff like that. And so I think that's stuff that can help build character for a team throughout the entire season, knowing that you're not always going to get to play at Arrowhead and get to have that home crowd behind you. You have to learn how to come together as a team and makes you closer as a team as the season goes on.
I'll get you out of here with these last handful of questions. You obviously are very familiar with New York. Your dad played for the New York Mets. What memory do you have of New York as a kid?
I think my best memory is the Subway Series. I mean, I think that was always something that was really cool. And then being able to go and see the Statue of Liberty as a kid was something that stuck in my brain. And so I had a lot of great memories there. My dad was playing great baseball and playing in National League Championship Series versus the Braves and Subway Series versus the Yankees. And so it was a lot of fun times. And I was about 5, 6, 7 years old. And so that was like right when I could really start remembering stuff.
During the Kingdom, they showed these highlights of you hitting home runs as a kid. When was the last time that you saw those clips? I had never seen that video before.
I hadn't seen him in a long time, and for me, I just heard the stories, you know, like with your dad or your grandpa or whoever, they always tell you stories, and half the time you're like, I don't know if I really believe what they're saying, but my dad had always told me that exact story, and so to see it on the home video that my mom found, I don't know where she found it at, it was cool because it just showed that all those stories my dad was telling me about me as a kid and his time in New York were all true.
I mean, you should have known right then and there that you were going to be really athletic because I'm sitting there watching like, I don't know if you're supposed to be this age being able to hit that far.
I always thought I was a baseball player, man. I grew up in it, and I learned so much of it. But looking back now, it was really cool.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as they get ready for Sunday Night Football. Pat, again, happy birthday, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That was Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We, of course, are your home for Chiefs football in St. Louis. We'll take one more break. We'll come back, and we'll talk some Blues hockey. Training camp, it is set to open up tomorrow. Blues President of Hockey Operations and General Manager Doug Armstrong addressed the media today. We'll hear some of what he had to say. We'll do that coming up in just a moment as we continue on after this right here. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on KMOX. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We are starting to wrap things up. We get done at 8 o'clock this evening. Tomorrow, a big day. Training camp officially opening up for the St. Louis Blues. Their president of hockey operations and general manager Doug Armstrong did meet with the media earlier today and wanted to play back some of what he had to say. So his role is changing at the end of this year as he is giving up the GM portion of his title, and then we're going to see him not be in that role anymore. So he's going into his final GM year with the Blues. But he said that as this year gets started, he's not really spending much time thinking about that.
I haven't spent a lot of time on that, really. Excited about the year. One of the things that we want to make sure we focus on is this year. Alex and I worked together hand in hand last year. I don't see anything being different this year. And it is a little strange, though, knowing that there is an expiration date. But that doesn't affect this year's team, and they expect us to do our best, and we're going to do that.
Obviously, last year went pretty well, especially after the coaching change and after Jim Montgomery's impact on this team and the way that they play really started to be felt. He was asked about, taking momentum because the season ended well last year. They were oh so close, just terribly close to getting into the second round of the playoffs. So can you take momentum from last year and bring it into this year?
It's great that Monty's going to have a full training camp to get us ready. I think one of the things you want to be careful against is when you finish as strong as you did, that you think that that's going to be a natural carryover. One of the things you understand over time is that, like, Mayhew doesn't care how we played, Suter doesn't care how we played, Buchta doesn't care how well we played at the end. So we have to build our own team again. We have to start with that foundation. Now there's a lot of things that the players can remember and learn from last year, but to think they can just replicate it by showing up, hockey doesn't work that way. The NHL doesn't work that way. And just the understanding of, when I look at the Central Division, how strong that is right now, we have to be ready to go, the start of the season. And it's going to be a battle every night. And one of the things that when you're coming from behind, you can sneak up on teams this year. Hopefully that we prove to some teams that we're a capable opponent, and we'll get their best game and they'll get ours, and we'll see how we fit.
With as well as the team played last year after the coaching change and getting some playoff experience and all that, and then adding to the roster a little bit here during the offseason, Armstrong really likes the potential of this club.
They showed when they played determined, selfless hockey, as Monty would say, that they're competitive. I think we have a good mix right now of veteran players like Shen and Parenko and Falk and Bukestad and older players that are at that point now, and then we have just a really couple of guys in that mid-age. It's Thomas and Kyrou, and then a lot of younger guys that are 24, 25. So there's balance. There should be competition for ice time. There should be competition to make the team, and then after you make the team, where you fit in on what special teams, where you fit in the lineup. So I think they relished that competition last year. I think they understand that collectively we're better than we are as any individuals, and they can learn from that and hopefully present some of that this year. But again, it has to start basically from scratch.
I think generally most people think that this Blues team has a chance of being really good this year. I don't know if we're talking about Stanley Cup good, but being more than just sneaking into the playoffs, a team that can certainly make a bit of a playoff run. And that would mean they had a better year this year than they did last year, even though they finished off so strong last season. And Armstrong talked a little bit about whether it's just Jim Montgomery being in for the full year with training camp, the changes that they did make to the roster, young guys continuing to get better, what it is going to take, and what's the possibility of them being better this year than last year?
I think we're a little deeper. I also think that we do have some positive experiences to go off of, but I think bringing in two centermen doesn't put too much undue pressure on young players that are 20, 21 years old. I think, quite honestly, a lot changed. And I think we discussed this a little bit last year at the end with bringing in Broberg and Holloway expedited this process. Right now, and then bringing Fowler in, we don't have to put the three first rounders from 2 years ago into our lineup right now. If we didn't have those players, we probably would and just sort of learn on the go. But the players showed enough last year for us to acquire veteran players, get back to the maturation that we've had in the past of letting players come at their own pace, come at their own time. And so I think experience players helps us. I think, having youth being served to some extent, but making it earned, I think is better for us long term than making them earn it than to give it to them.
And then final thing from Doug Armstrong, I thought this was also pretty interesting. I think Corey Miller from Channel 5 asked this question. It was a good question. It wasn't that long ago that they were selling players off at the deadline, and it felt like they were going kind of into a, I don't want to say long haul rebuild, but it didn't seem like it was going to be a super quick process. And I guess it hasn't been super quick, but it's moved along a little bit faster than a lot of people thought it would move along. And a lot of that has to do with how much they got better last year. So the question was asked, are they ahead of schedule from where they thought they were going to be if you circle back to when they were trading players at the deadline?
I don't think you sort of have a schedule that you go by. It was difficult. We moved on from some great Blues players that brought us a lot of success, but contracts were expiring, and we made decisions. We've tried to stay competitive as we're doing this, and it's some teams go a different approach where they'll go working for a first overall pick maybe for a few years and hoping that that player turns out to be a superstar and they can build around that. That wasn't the way we wanted to go, partly because I just thought with Thomas and Kyrou and Binnington, there was enough players. I don't think we could ever really get to the bottom comfortably. And so we went a different direction. And again, I credit our pro staff and our amateur staff of finding players that we can be in here. I think when we talked last year, I thought we might surprise some teams. We might be a little bit better. My expectations would be a little bit greater this year that I like where we finished. I like where we're headed. With the caveat, though, that the Central Division's better than it was last year at this time, and the league is probably better just because of the increase in cap space. There wasn't teams that were fighting at the top that had to disperse their players because of cap issues. It's a little bit more normal to where it was pre-pandemic that, a bad contract is usually absorbed within a year or two by the cap going up.
That's Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager. And that's going to do it for this edition of the program. Again, a reminder, tomorrow we are going to be at Hot Shots in Arnold. Love for you to stop on by. Team of Baumgartel from City SC will be there from, I believe he's there till 8 o'clock. So 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock is when he's there. He'll be on the radio with us from about 6 to 6:30. And then after that, he'll get the opportunity to meet you you, take photos, sign autographs, do all those sort of things. We'll be broadcasting live that entire time. We'll start the live broadcast at 5 o'clock for my part of Red Bird Rush Hour, and then we'll do all the city stuff during the 6 o'clock hour, kind of more standard Sports Open Line during the 7 o'clock hour. But we are looking forward to being with you coming up tomorrow. Thanks to all my guests. This was a really fun show tonight, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow from Hot Shots in Arnold for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.